Chester Pratt didn't get back to Tibbeha until dawn. After an unsuccessful trip up to Memphis to borrow money from an old Miss frat buddy who sold used cars over in Germantown. He knew he'd wasted his time when his buddy started witnessing to Chester at the Half Shell about getting his life in order and shunning alcohol and drugs. Chester tried to explain to him that he wasn't a drunk. He was only in the liquor business and had gotten behind a few bills. His pal wouldn't hear it. So damn superior, sucking on in O'Doul's and handing him some leaflets for a big megachurch run by Pastor Ben Quick. Pratt had known Quick his whole damn life and wasn't in the mood for any light shows and praise music to get him through the night. He didn't need Jesus. He needed cash. Pratt didn't even think about heading back to Bluebird Liquors that bright and shiny morning and instead drove right across the street to the Rebel truck stop. It was a busy day at the Rebel. The pumps jammed up with 18-wheelers, waiting to get filled up with diesel, and plenty of pickup trucks and cars pulled tight near the diner to feed on the best chicken fried steak in Mississippi. Pratt had eaten the chicken fried steak. It wasn't anything to write home to Mama about. He parked and walked through the main shop with aisles filled with beef jerky, soda pop, candy bars, Nodos, and Red Bull. They sold cowboy boots and samurai swords and had a walk-in cooler with the coldest beer within 50 miles. He was nearly back to the toilets when he saw the big black dude who worked for Johnny Stagg, Midnight Man, coming out of an unmarked back door. He had an apron stretched tight over his denim utility suit, blackened and stained with barbecue sauce and soot. The man must have weighed 400 pounds.
"Is he in?"
Pratt asked. Midnight Man grunted. He turned around to the door and knocked twice, Midnight Man telling the man inside that someone wanted to see him. Someone? Midnight Man knew damn well who he was. Chester Pratt was somebody in Tibbeha County.
"Come in," the familiar gravelly and countrified voice said.
Johnny T. Stagg sat behind his desk, talking on an old tan landline phone and smiling. His hair had grown back into the familiar gray pompadour he'd worn before spending the last 5 years in a federal facility in Montgomery, Alabama. He was a little older, a little craggier, but with the same odd-shaped skeletal head and ruddy cheeks and nose that made his face appear like an old wooden puppet. He winked at Chester and motioned for him to take a seat. Stagg's desk was cluttered with paperwork and framed photographs, a silver bowl filled to the brim with peppermint candies.
"Yes, sir, yes, sir," Stagg said into the receiver. "It's going to be quite a place. I haven't stopped thinking about the Wild West since I was a kid. You know all that stuff we growed up on. Roy Rogers, Hopalong Cassidy, Dang Lash LaRue. Reason I came to the idea was that one of my grandbabies, Marla's boy, had never even heard of Jesse James or Cole Younger. Even kids growing up behind us had the gun-smoking bonanza to watch. They got a little bit of our culture and heritage in them shows. This will be a place to display it while offering the youngins a safe place and some real wholesome family fun."
"Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. I sure do appreciate that."
"Mm-hmm. Well, when you get as old as me, you start looking on things and figuring out how a man might make a real difference in his community."
"Yes, sir."
"Mm-hmm.
Sure to appreciate it."
"Yep.
You have a blessed day, too."
Stagg kept on smiling until he put down the phone and turned to Chester Pratt. The smile dropped.
"Glad to see you, Mr. Pratt,"